Very good morning to you. Welcome to our Bird Notes. This is Dwight Davis. On this Sunday closest to the 4th of July, we could revisit the national bird discussion, I suppose. You'll recall that Ben Franklin wanted the wild turkey as our national feathered symbol. He said it was of nobler character than the sometimes scavenging bald eagle. But you know that story. Or we could try to find a red, white, and blue bird, but there really isn't one, at least in flag colors, though one might try to make a case for the bluebird as being red, white, and blue. No, this morning, rather, we will offer a brief comparison of the avifauna of the time of the founding fathers and now. This is certainly not going to be thorough or necessarily scientific, but it might be of passing interest to know what birds Thomas Jefferson might have seen on a trip by carriage and horseback from, say, Williamsburg to Washington to Monticello, as compared to the birds that we might see today. Birds in abundance 2 centuries ago included the Carolina parakeet, the only native parrot in North America, and the passenger pigeon. Huge flocks of both used to darken the sky. They are extinct today. We shot them into extinction. The ivory-billed woodpecker, resident of the southern wooded swamps, was long thought to be extinct, a victim of logging primarily, but there have been convincing recent sightings of this great bird. The beautiful snowy egret suffered for its plumes in the 19th century. The bird was common in colonial times and was heavily killed, but it's made a modest comeback, still much less numerous than it used to be 2 centuries ago. Many species of birds are less numerous simply because of population pressures of Homo sapiens. Bird habitats have been reduced, pesticides have taken a toll. Change of habitat, as when the prairies were taken over for agriculture, essentially drove the long-billed curlew out of America. On the other hand, the bobwhite, a native southern bird known to the colonists, followed the plow westward and increased its range. The red-headed woodpecker was, in Audubon's words, back in the 18th century, so abundant I should feel disposed to say little about them. Well, they are not so abundant now, thanks in part to starlings displacing them from their nesting holes. Which brings us to the topic of introduced birds. George Washington never saw a starling. Now, they're everywhere, of course. Introduced from Europe in the 19th century. Also introduced to the detriment of native species was the house sparrow, which is ubiquitous across the country now and has assisted in the decline of the bluebird. And since we're speaking of what many call trash birds, in quotes, how about the pigeon? Actually, the founding fathers did find the pigeon common, as we do today. The domestic rock dove from the wild European stock was introduced into the Old Dominion in 1621 or 1622, thereabouts. Some birds have made their way here without human help. The colonists never saw a glossy ibis or a cattle egret, but the glossy ibis has been expanding its range north for years now and is now common along the eastern coast. And the cattle egret, too, came north of its own accord from the Caribbean in the past 4 or 5 decades. And then there's been that explosive expansion into the east of the house finch in just the past 20 years or so. So the avian landscape has actually changed quite a bit since July 4th, 1776, with colonists mostly responsible for most of the change, for better, but usually for worse.